Good morning, ladies. I'm glad that you could all make it this morning. I know it's a busy time of the year, so we have to make that extra effort to be here. But let's pray and thank the Lord for his provision for us. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that we are allowed to come here before you, to come to know you, to come. We gather here together, Lord, because you have purpose for us to be here, to come and learn about you, to encourage each other, to share with each other, to pray with each other, to eat with each other. Father, you are good and you provide us good gifts. We thank you for all your provisions for us. We ask you, Father, to be here and to use my words, Lord. May your Holy Spirit speak to each one of us here, Lord. May you transform our lives. May your word come alive and may it transform each day in our daily life, how we see you, how we live, and how we act, Lord. We ask for your presence of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. So today, we will be in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. And if you got to see that chapter in the book, you'll see that John MacArthur does a great job of explaining to us how not to be anxious. So this letter was written by Paul, as you know, and he wrote it to a little church in Philippi. And in that church, we know a few names you'll find in Philippians, but I am going to talk to you about the woman who had the church started in her house. Her name was Lydia, as you probably already know, and you will find her story and Paul's second missionary journey to the Philippians or Philippi in Acts 16. So it's a beautiful story. When you go home, go read all the details because it will captivate you. So, but today we're just going to touch a few of the verses, and we're going to start with Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. And while you read this, keep in mind that the Apostle Paul was in jail when he wrote this. He might sound like he's in a vacation home, maybe by the beach because of his words, but he was in prison and he was in chains. And he didn't know when he would be getting out. And as you will see, Paul has lived a very stressful life. But let's read what he tells the Philippians and what he tells us today. Chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let the reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We've heard our missionary friend speaking about the God of peace. And here it is again. The God of peace will be with you. He is not only our provider. He's not only the one that gives us everything we need for life, but he also gives us peace. He is our God of peace. So let's step back a little bit. Like I said, I'm going to speak of Lydia. And she was a woman like us, a woman who knew success, who knew responsibility and who had outward stability. But she also was restless, and she carried a lot of burdens. She carried the worry inside of her. Through her life, we can see how the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, sustained her. And as you know, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter in his second journey, and that's in Acts 16, like I said. And we'll see how Luke writes about Paul in that area. Paul had been, this was his second turn through Galatia, and he had already established some churches there. And he was continuing on from visiting those churches, encouraging, and he wanted to continue preaching the gospel in that area. All these areas, many, the gospel was new. People worshiped the Lord as Jews. Some knew, but there were a lot of Gentiles that worshiped many idols with no knowledge of who Yahweh was. And Paul was going first to the Jews to preach the gospel to them and make them aware that the Messiah had arrived. The Messiah had already come. And he was preaching to them. And while he was in Asia Minor, he wanted to go, I think it was Bithynia, and the Lord stopped him. He wanted to go down to Ephesus, and the Lord stopped him. It says, Luke says, that the Holy Spirit would not permit them to preach the gospel. That seems odd. But as they go, Paul is in prayer, and he's asking, where do we go? What do we preach? He received a vision one night while he was in Troas. And the vision was of a Macedonian man asking him, come and help us. Macedonia was across the sea, and it was in Europe. All this time, the gospel had stayed in Asia Minor, in Jerusalem. It had been spreading. You remember Jerusalem, Samaria, and beyond. And now the Holy Spirit was guiding them to Europe. So they were going to cross over to Greece. It just happened that in Troas, we see a change in the writing, where first it was third person, and then all of a sudden it starts, and we got on the ship, and we sailed to Philippi. This is how Luke puts it. At that point, Luke joins them. He doesn't explain how he got there, how he joined them, but this is what he says in Acts 16:12. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. So they cross over to Greece. They're in Europe now. And they go to a little town, Philippi. Some believe that Luke was from there, or at least he knew people there because that's where the medical school was. And he probably went from there to Asia and back and forth practicing his trade. While they're in Philippi, they don't know who they need to talk to. They do know God gave him a vision, and Paul believed it was the Holy Spirit guiding him, and the Holy Spirit at this point did not stop them. They did not know, but they had an appointment. They had a divine appointment in that city. The Lord was preparing many hearts to come to know him. And all the trouble that they had, the stress, the concern, knowing that God had called them to preach and yet not knowing where. But they knew that this was the location. So we'll stop Paul's story right there, and we're going to talk a little bit about Lydia. Who was she? The Bible doesn't give us very much information about her, but it does tell us a few things. Like, she was a merchant woman. She was from a city in Thyatira. That was in Asia Minor, where Paul had just traveled from. And it was a famous city. It was a famous city. A city was famous for their purple dye. They had special purple dye that was made from little fishes, and that created this beautiful, bright color for people to wear, especially people with money. They love to wear it and show off their wealth. So she's in Thyatira, and Lydia must have been a woman, like I said, similar to us, with many worries. You can imagine having her own business. You can wonder, how did she get that business? That's odd for that time to have a woman own her own business. Why did she want to move? Why did she want to go to Philippi, cross the ocean to a new country? What was her purpose? Was she running away? Did her husband die? Was she singled and needed to spread out her wings? Why was she going? Maybe she just needed to start over. We're not sure. The Bible does not tell us. But that's what happened. She started over, and she was in Philippi. So in Philippi, I know that there were a lot of temples, and people there worship many idols. If you read the story, you will see that the idols were empowered by demons. It's a very dramatic story. So you can read it and see the background, but you can imagine this is the city that she moved into. You can imagine that she's confused and worried, and how is she going to make her business successful? How is she going to survive in this new country? It was a well-known country that did promote women, and they allowed them in business and in different areas. So she had that going, but the challenges were still there. She might not be successful at all. It was a new place for her. Maybe she would lose everything she owned, and where would she go then? But with all these questions inside of her and all this worry and anxiety inside of her, she had a deeper meaning, a deeper need, and that need was for more, for real meaning. More than wealth, more than stability, more than success, she wanted something better and was looking for something. Maybe she didn't even know what she needed or what she was looking for. But just like you, coming here and wanting to hear about God, she went by some strange reason to the riverside. And at the riverside, maybe I imagined that she was washing the purple cloth that she was preparing to sell. It doesn't say. That was just my imagination. But she was there, and she was there on the Sabbath. While she's there, she hears this woman somewhere across the river, maybe, and she hears them. She hears them praying out loud, and maybe they're Jewish voices, maybe in Greek or Latin. And they said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe." Maybe they were reading Psalm 103, like David, that says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good." Imagine you are there at that riverside.
Imagine that you're working hard and wanting to make more money to be satisfied, to provide maybe for your extended family. And you hear this woman praising God, praising Yahweh. I'm sure she wanted to know, how are they different? How they're not burning things to idols or throwing money at them, or they were just there by the river praising the Lord. So that drew her in. And somehow, Luke tells us that she joined them. How many Sabbaths did she go and prayed and worship with them? We don't know, except that Luke brings Paul back. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke come to Philippi. While they arrive, they try to find the synagogue, because remember, Paul always did this. At every place that he went in his missionary journey, he went to preach the gospel. He said the Jews first and then the Gentiles. So he would attend the synagogues first to bring the gospel to them. And in Philippi, there was no synagogue. That means there was no, there was not a lot of Jews. They needed to be at least 10 men to form a synagogue, and so that they could lead the services. Where they didn't have 10 adult males in a location, then the Jews that were there would gather together at the riverside. And that's where we find these ladies worshiping the Lord. So in Acts 6, I already told you that they traveled there. So in Acts 16, 13, it says, on that Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of them was Lydia. This woman, full of turmoil, full of success outside, full of stability. Maybe she looked well put together. Maybe she looked very successful. But inside, she was seeking God. So Paul speaks the gospel to them. He preaches how the Lord came, that Messiah had arrived, and he came to save sinners. Not only the Jews, but anyone who would believe. And Lydia listened, and the Lord opened her heart, and she believed. She and her whole household were baptized. And the first church was started in Europe. So what struck me most, I've read this story many times, and I know these words, but as I studied, ladies, she was in another country, and God brought her from there to Philippi. Paul was over there too, but God didn't want to start something there. He brought Paul to Philippi, to that riverside. They had a divine appointment with God. We are here because the Lord wills for us to be here. Your loved ones are where they're at because the Lord is working in their life there. So the first church in Europe was started in this woman's house. She said, if you truly believe that I am a true believer, come to my house. She was generous, and she opened her house, and the new believers came to her house to receive the word. Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke stayed with her for some time.
We see Paul saying these words, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand.
Another translation says, the Lord is near. It could mean that, yes, the Lord is coming soon, or the Lord is with you.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God.
Paul knew trouble. Paul knew anxiety. Philippi was not kind to Paul. When Paul was in Philippi, after preaching to these ladies, getting to know them, every time he went to preach, there was a slave girl following him around, bothering him, a slave girl that was possessed by an evil spirit. This created a lot of trouble for him. After releasing the evil spirit from this young lady, her owners were really angry, and you need to read the story, but Paul and Silas end up in jail. They end up being beat up. They end up almost dying. And in the middle of the night, as he is probably maybe patching up his wounds, they start singing hymns. And as they sing hymns and praising God, the jail shakes and all the doors open. Now, they had them in the deepest, darkest, most secure jail because they didn't want him to escape. He was such a troublemaker, they thought. All the jail doors open, and the jailer, in his distress, he thought he was going to die by the hand of the Roman soldiers. He wanted to kill himself, and Paul stopped him. And while Paul tells him, we're all here. You don't need to worry. The man says, tell me, how can I be saved? And this jailer and his whole household also came to the Lord and also probably gathered together at Lydia's home to hear the gospel further from Paul. Officials of the city decided to tell Paul, okay, you can leave. Sorry, we're sorry we got you in here. They found out he was a Roman citizen. They wanted no trouble, so they tried to escort him out of the city. Paul said, no, I will leave at my own time. He returned to Lydia's home, and he was able to say goodbye to his friends and pray. So the Philippians knew what trouble was. They understood the trials that Paul has been through, that the gospel was not just something easy that he could just share and go on. It was not like selling idols on the street, like there were so many vendors selling their idols, starting new type of religions. Oh, this one will give you money. That one will give you peace. This one will, give you a girlfriend. I don't know. They had idols for everything. If you hunted, there was one for that. If you, wanted to be a better dancer, there was one for that. That's how it was. It was overpopulated with idols. And yet, Paul preaching the gospel brought him trouble and persecution and people wanting to kill him.
So when Paul says, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything
with supplication, bring your requests known to God. He knew what he was talking about. And the Philippians knew that he understood. He had reasons to be anxious. He had to be looking behind his back all the time to see who was coming after him. His heart was heavy for the gospel and preaching to those who did not know the Lord. That was his biggest anxiety. He will say in a lot of the letters, you will see that his heart, and he even says that he would be willing to die so that his people would know God. and know Jesus as their Savior.
So when he speaks about peace and seeking God, he knew what he was talking about. Paul was calling the believers to be like him. And he says, he's not calling them to leave all their responsibilities or to pretend that they don't have troubles or to, you know, just hide and act like there's nothing wrong. But he is urging them not to let the anxiety rule their life. He reminds them, maybe like in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. Being a believer is not easy. You know, a lot of times we think, oh, you know, I'll become a Christian, I'll pray, God will give me what I'm looking for, what I want. Being a believer means that you will still have struggles and you will have persecutions, maybe like Paul. But Paul says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul gives us three, I'll call them remedies, but it's not a remedy. Three, maybe, process for anxiety, how to deal with anxiety. Paul says, pray about everything. Big troubles, small troubles, every detail, put it in God's hands. There's no things that are too small. Your arguments, fights between your kids, bring it to the Lord. Your neighbors gossiping, bring it to the Lord. That empty wallet at the end of the month, bring it to the Lord. Your body's tired, weary, sick, bring it to the Lord. There's nothing that is too small that he will not care about. He knows. He knows you. He knows what you need. Be specific. He says, bring everything, your petitions, meaning make your needs clear. Tell him, Lord, I need a raise. I need $5 more each hour. Or I need, you know, $30,000, Lord. Whatever it is, bring it before him. Be specific. Tell him the whole story. Pour out the details. It's okay. He will listen. He will hear. When you tell him clearly what you want, you will see the answer clearly also. And another point that Paul says, he says, with thanksgiving, you pray, you present your request, and then you give thanks. Thanksgiving changes worry in worship. Gratitude shifts our heart from fear to faith. When you're worried, try it. Even if you skip the other steps, try it. You're driving, or you're in bed in the middle of the night, or there's chaos in front of you. Start giving thanks. Lord, thank you for this load of laundry. Thank you for all the clothes that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for this car that is taking me, even if I'm stuck in traffic. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine that's making me hot. Thank him for everything you see around you. Take your mind off of that worry and see the blessings. To thank God is not simply to be polite, to use polite words. It is to confess who God is. He is your provider. He is good. He is
faithful. He is your God of peace.
He gives and we receive. He saves and we are saved. He loves and we are beloved. Gratitude shifts our hearts from fear to faith. It recognizes the good in all things, and it turns our worry into worship.
The Jewish ladies that maybe Lydia saw that morning, or who she worshiped for before Paul came, they use a phrase. Even now, Jewish people still use this phrase. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Try it at home. Try it when you're eating your lunch. Remember when Jesus, he says, and he gave, I'm trying to remember the word, Jesus blessed the bread. Remember when he was feeding the 5,000 and he says, and he blessed the Lord. He is blessing God. We take it as he's blessing the food, right? We thank the Lord for our food, which is, we should be thankful. God provides. But Jesus was blessing God. He was uttering a blessing to the Lord for his provision. He is the God who provides.
He would have said, blessed are you, O Lord, our King, God and King of the universe, who provided this fish and this loaves. So to bless God is to recognize him. We need to recognize him as our creator, our giver of good gifts. Thanksgiving does not deny pain. It declares trust in the midst of pain. So Paul promises that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How does this happen? How does the peace of God guard our hearts? This peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ. It is like a soldier standing guard at the gate of our hearts. When fear tries to invade, peace answers. The Lord is near. You are safe, you are loved, you are his. Paul taught believers to discipline their thoughts. You read Romans and you find that we need to have a transformed mind. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about these things. Our thoughts shape our heart. Fear grows when we dwell on fear. Bitterness grows when we dwell on offense. Faith, joy, and peace grow when we fix our mind on God. So Lydia's story shows us the transformation of restlessness and peace. We can see and we can know that she was faithful. When she gave her life to the Lord, she continued faithfully. Did she encounter trouble? I would say that she did, because if they were persecuting Paul for just helping out a slave girl, for sharing the gospel, I am sure they were bothered by this growing community that was preaching the gospel, telling people to get rid of their idols and to not do that anymore. Was her business still successful? We don't know. Did she continue as a businesswoman? I'm not sure. What we do know is that the church continued to grow. And if you read the whole letter of Philippians, Paul writes to them with great joy, and he reminds them of who they are in Christ. And he tells them that God is faithful and he's going to complete the work that he has started in them. So we need to be like her. She's an example for us. And when worry comes, let's turn to prayer. When fear rises, let us answer with thanksgiving. And when our thoughts are darkened, let us fill them with what is pure and lovely. Then, like Lydia, we will find what Paul found, the peace of God guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I will read it one more time. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Practice blessings like David did. Practice like the Jewish women. Practice like Lydia. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you like your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor he will keep anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As the father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower on the field, or the wind passes over it, and it is gone. But the steadfast of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to their children's children. To those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank you, ladies. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We come with nothing, Lord. But we thank you that you are everything. And that we can bring our requests before you, and you allow us to pour out our hearts at your feet, and you have compassion over us. You remember that we are just like a wildflower that will be gone tomorrow. And we thank you that you have compassion of us, that you love us. We cannot even comprehend what that means. But you love us right now as much as you loved us yesterday, as much as you will love us tomorrow. We thank you for your love, and we thank you that you are in control of every aspect of our lives. No matter what is happening today or yesterday or what will happen in the future, you are in control of those things, and you will make your everything good, Lord. We trust you. We know you. We know that you will work out all things for our good. We pray, Father, that as we maybe be like Lydia, who are confused, maybe you have us in a different place, a place of anxiety and worry, that we will turn our hearts to you and that we will choose to bless your name,
to be thankful for the things that you have provided. We will choose to worship you instead of complain, instead of curse, instead of walking away in anger. Help us to bless your name, to see those things that you have provided, those things that you are providing, and those things that are to come. We thank you, Father, because you decided to bring the gospel to Europe, and that this woman opened her heart and her home to you, that she said, yes, help us be like her, that we might be called worshipers of God. Help us to know you and to be transformed by your word. We ask you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.